Welcome back to the Camp House Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Busby, and this is our special series focused on local elections for 2018. Over the summer, we're going to bring you interviews featuring candidates running for local offices of county mayor, county commission, and Hamilton County School Board. In the end, we hope you are more connected and informed about the men and women hoping to receive your vote in August. Today, we head to District 3 and interview candidates Rosabelle Gorman and Greg Martin. Mr. Martin is the incumbent for the seat, seeking his second term serving the people of District 3, while Ms. Gorman is challenging for the position. Geographically, District 3 includes the communities of Hixson, Middle Valley, and Big Ridge, extending from Ashland Terrace north along the Tennessee River, beyond Chester Frost Park to the community of Lakesite. And now I give you our interview with Rosabelle Gorman, candidate for County Commission District 3. Well, Rosabelle, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. So my guest today is Rosabelle Gorman, who is running for County Commission District 3. And District 3, that is Hixson, correct?
That is. It goes all the way up from Lakesite, all the way down, kind of following the water line there to kind of the Ashland Terrace, DuPont area.
Okay.
And then over to, mostly over to Highway 27.
All right.
So
does that
Middle
include
Valley,
Middle Valley,
Big Ridge,
yes.
All that.
So
at Northgate.
I've lived in Chattanooga for 8 years now, and I never realized how big that Middle Valley section
is. It's huge. That's
where
I live.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Because we went up camping along the lake one time, and I remember we were just driving along this ridge, and then I realized just how massive that valley is all the way over to Signal. It's
oh, yeah.
Enormous.
Yeah, that's where I live. I love it.
Okay, Middle Valley, yeah. And so you're running for District 3.
I am.
And tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I was born and raised for the first few years of my life in Daytona Beach, Florida. And I'm a military brat. So actually, my mom was a teacher in the Department of Defense when she was a single mom. And so she moved out to Misawa, Japan.
Okay.
And I spent 4 years there. I was in a Japanese preschool, Yochin. I spoke the language, and I was really just immersed in the culture. It was fabulous.
So from a very young age.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So that's where she met my stepfather, who was in the Marine Corps. And so then we moved around a lot, the East Coast. Every 2-3 years, we moved.
Yeah.
So then we went and ended up in Okinawa, Japan, which was the second tour I spent in Japan. So by the time I was 14, I'd spent half my life in Japan.
Yeah.
So I can't say that I'm from Chattanooga because my family was serving our country across the world. And but when we moved here, when my stepfather got out, they picked Chattanooga, Tennessee kind of out of thin air. And we all moved here, and then they've since moved away. So
okay.
I've been here for 21 years. So I'd like to say I can't help that I'm not from here.
Yeah.
I definitely choose to live here. My children are going to be from here. I have a 3-year-old, Marshall. He just turned 3 a week ago.
Nice.
And he's going to be going to Middle Valley Elementary. That's where we're zoned.
Okay.
And then I have a daughter who is going to be born maybe in 3 weeks.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. So by the time everyone gets out to vote, I will have 2 children with me. So both of them are a major reason why I'm concerned about Hixson 3, but also county politics, especially the schools and the jobs and the housing, things that are going to affect their lives in the future.
Well, you're mentioning some of the concerns. You know, as you've been canvassing District 3 and you know, getting out and talking to people, talking to constituents, folks that you hope to represent, you know, what are some of the concerns you've heard from District 3, and maybe what are some of their hopes and dreams?
Well, I've spent a lot of time talking to people, to strangers, meeting them in District 3, and it's been great. I've really enjoyed the conversations I've had. I've learned, it's a little bit surprising that schools is number one, our schools and wanting to improve them. You know, it's been in the paper. I think it's on everyone's mind. We're talking about it a lot. We have a new superintendent. So much is going on. But I was a little surprised that it wasn't just limited to people who have school-age children.
So people without kids are concerned about the school system.
A lot of our retirement community, people that are older that have grandchildren or are retired teachers, I was really surprised to see the level of concern from people that are over 65. It is, you know, I one woman told me, you know, I said, what's your biggest concern? She just said education. And she was in her 70s. I wasn't expecting that so much from all ages in our county. So that was the biggest one. But then also, I definitely heard a lot about potholes. I think that's the perennial local politics thing. You know, hey, check out, just walk down right here. Look at my street right there. So so definitely infrastructure and roads, things that impact people on a daily basis. Those were the two main concerns that I've talked about with people.
Well, tell me about the people of District 3. What does District 3 hope for? What do they dream about?
Well, District 3 has quite a range of people. We have people living in wealthier homes and then people that are closer to the poverty line. We have all kinds of different faiths and communities out in Hickson. I think that one of the things that I'm proud of in Hickson and people that I speak to are so many of we have so many small local businesses. I think we have more small family owned businesses than anywhere else in the county. In the
That's
other
pretty
district.
Fascinating.
They're everywhere. You have so many places to do business with your neighbors. And that is really something that I love. So I think that people are really into their school spirit out here in Hickson. I know a lot of people are excited about their local schools and high schools and their communities as far as that goes. And then we also have a lot of great outdoor recreation areas. We have a lot of people that love the outdoors, boating. I love to go to Chester Frost at the lake with my child. And also people are pretty enthusiastic about hunting and just spending time in nature. I think there's a lot of that out in the suburbs where we're at.
Well, talking about education and, you know, running for county commission, what is the role of county commissioners and the county commission in general when it comes to our improving our public education system?
Well, the county commission holds the purse strings, and that's the most powerful leverage that we have for education. So they review the budget that has already been reviewed by the public, by the school board, by the mayor's office. But it's up to them to decide whether to raise taxes or not. It's up to them to decide whether to fund the whole school budget. You know, I know that our school system has had needs above and beyond what they get budgeted for year after year. And so they would go to the commission and ask for an increase. So there's always a discussion around budget time about how much money the schools need. And I think we can have as a community a really good conversation about what we should spend the money on. And that's what the school board and the school superintendent has done a fabulous job trying to cut costs and be efficient. But then when it comes down to it, you can ask for improvements and for more money. But the county commission has to vote on it. And that's really tough. I hear a lot of people say, politicians actually, not residents. Actually, I've only heard politicians say you can't fix all of our problems with money in the school system. And while that may be true, I do think that one of the promises, one of the only things that we guarantee our citizens in this country is an education. And it's supposed to be free. So, you know, you may not have a home to live in by being an American or by living here in Tennessee. You may not have a job. You're not guaranteed a job, but you are guaranteed to get an education. And I feel like that's so important. And that's a huge role of our government. And I know there's people that believe that, you know, less government is better. And that may be true in a lot of ways, but public education is so important. And so I think that it's one of the biggest things we can do for our citizens. Every person, no matter where you live, who you are, your kid should be able to get a wonderful free education just because they're an American. I know there's a lot of costs associated with it that private citizens pay. You know, we've got Big Ridge Elementary. I went to a PTA meeting that they have, and they the parents subsidize an art teacher there. I know we have that problem up there in Signal Mountain. Some of our best public schools are subsidized by parents, which is wonderful. But for communities where the parents can't afford to do that, that's not quite fair. I think that our county should be able to provide the education in every school that the kids deserve. And yes, it does cost money. And I feel, though, that when I talk to people who actually are voters living in the county, they're ready for that. The only person I hear talking about how we don't need to find ways to increase the funds are politicians.
So, you know, something I'm very interested in is that, you know, our county elections are partisan. Mm-hmm. Do you see that as a, but whereas like some are more local elections with a school board or city council or a city mayor for Chattanooga are not. So do you see that as a good thing or a bad thing on a county level for us to have partisan elections?
I think it's terrible. And of course, you know, I'm saying that as someone who's an underdog in my district, but you know, I think it what I think the problem is when you have it a partisan race like that on a local level, it discourages people from even entering. You know, I think we need at least two candidates in every election so that people have a choice. I feel like if you go to the ballot box and all up and down your ballot, like is usually the case in Hickson in District 3, no matter what office it is, for local elections, there's one person there. And that's not an election. That's a gift. And that's not the American way, but it's also frustrating as a voter. To me, I think it decreases voter engagement and turnout. You know, I used to go, one of the reasons I'm running is because I got tired as a voter. I would see a section where it said, you know, here's the one candidate you can vote for. And then on the other side, it would just say no candidate qualified. And I thought, just because no candidate qualified doesn't mean there are no qualified candidates to run in this race. And I wondered, why is no one doing that? And then I decided to do it myself and I found out why, because it's really, really hard to get anybody to pull away from partisan politics. I know everybody I talk to, voters, I talk to Republicans out there too, and I'm a Democrat, but my family's Republican, all of them. My grandfather was a Republican mayor in Daytona Beach, Florida, a man I admire greatly. I have his gavel in a little velvet box, and I am... Someday, hopefully, I'll be able to use that. Yeah. He's an inspiration to me. So I have grown up in very conservative Republican household, and I understand all of the talking points. I do. And I've voted for Republicans before. I've supported Republicans. You know, I think most of us are like that. We like to be able to choose between the two people or three people or four people in a race. But when you have a system that discourages people from even trying, you only get one.
So what you're saying is if it wasn't partisan, we would actually have more people
absolutely
running for office.
I think we would for county commission. I mean, you see it on the city council. There's 3-4 people in a seat vying for an office and for mayor. But here with the system we have in the county, and it is kind of silly because the same districts that are county commission districts that are partisan are also school board districts that are nonpartisan. Mm-hmm. And I think that discourages our democracy on a local level.
Well, okay, so, you know, running for county commission, and if you win this seat, you're not just going to be representing the people of District 3. You'll be helping make decisions for this entire county. So what do you see as some of the challenges facing Hamilton County, and maybe even break that into, like, a short-term challenge and a long-term challenge?
Okay, well, that's kind of a several-layered question, but the first part that you asked about being the commissioner for the entire county, I couldn't agree more. I find that a lot of times, you know, we have to get our votes mm-hmm. from our local area. But at the same time, if you get elected by the people in Hickson, then you represent the whole county, and it takes 9 votes on all of these decisions. And so I really feel like the person who wins needs to have a vision and a heart for the whole county. And so you can't leave it up to your one county commissioner to improve your area alone. So that's something I'm very concerned with. Statements that I've heard from politicians in my area are, you know, our schools are great. They're great. They're great. They're great. And, you know, we might be satisfied with our local school mm-hmm. down the street in Hickson. But when the whole county can't say that and you're responsible for the whole county, that's not good enough. So I really am very interested in improving the overall county, not just the areas that I'm privileged to live in. So one of the things that I find that is huge is, of course, education. We're going to spend so much time talking about that because it's a crisis and has been boiling as a crisis for a really long time. And what I really love is that there is so much engagement from not only the citizens, but also from these businesses and from the nonprofit philanthropic community. Everyone wants to improve the schools. And I just, I think one of the questions you were going to ask me is what is the best thing that Hamilton County is doing right now? Mm-hmm. And I think that is collaborating across the county. There's so much energy. More than one group, the Chamber of Commerce, all of these businesses, and also philanthropic dollars. We are such a charitable community. Everyone is wanting to come together to improve our schools. And the reason I'm running for county commissioner is because I feel like our community is leading this effort and our politicians are dragging it down. And that's where the bottleneck is. I feel like so many people in our community see a more urgent need than the people who are elected to serve us. And so I think that it's very positive. There's so much energy out there. And we love to talk about how we're partnering with these businesses that are really collaborating with our community. At the same time, it's kind of a shame that that they have to,
yeah,
since we're not doing such a great job ourselves. And I say that fiscally, although there are so many success stories in our schools and our teachers, and I'm really proud of so many of the things that we've done. I learn something new every time I talk to a teacher about what we're doing well. But that's a positive thing, I think, for our community. Now, another problem that we don't talk about very much is affordable housing, or let's just say the lack of it, the extreme lack of it around here. And that's not just in District 3. That's everywhere. I know it's a hot topic, especially downtown, where every single construction project seems to be luxury apartments, and there really seems to be nowhere else to live if you can't afford these extremely high prices to live downtown. And a lot of these buildings push out people that have been there and had an affordable place to live for a long time. So another thing I think about, we need to see a solution for the whole county. I know there was a an affordable housing project that was going to come up and ask for some tax benefits locally for a project in Highway 58 area. We need more affordable housing in the suburbs. It's not just a concentrated problem, you know, downtown. And what I find is that people on the county commission are not willing to talk about having affordable housing in their backyard. And so it didn't even come up for a vote. The votes aren't there. I think it's a real shame. I think that one of the good things we can do with our tax benefit programs that we offer to these companies is to give Chattanoogans a place to live that's affordable. And we don't talk about it enough, and we need more votes across the board on the county commission. And as a realtor, I know it is so much cheaper to buy a house than it is to rent one.
Right.
And it puts people in a really hard position. People that are moving here for just a couple of years are really tempted to just buy because they can't rent. And it's a real problem. It's great when you own property. I'm all about, you know, your property value increasing and all of these things. But if the local market cannot, the free market can't give people an affordable place to live, then that's where the government can step in with some of these tax dollars.
So let's keep going that direction. I don't think that's something you mentioned. What is your professional background?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I didn't even go into that with my personal story. I kind of got sidetracked. So my first job, I worked at First Tennessee Bank here locally. So I was I'm very tied into that community. It was a great experience. I worked there as a teller.
Okay.
So I started doing that in retail banking, then an operations manager, and then I got into facilities management, kind of a fluke opportunity that really changed my perspective. You know, no one goes to high school thinking or college, hey, I'm going to be a facilities manager, but those jobs are great, you know? And my husband's an electrician and we've renovated houses together. So, you know, it was kind of a nice fit for me. I worked with a bunch of maintenance guys, you know, talking about air conditioners and ceiling tiles and, you know, counting the chairs and getting space remodeled. So it was a great experience for me. Now, we managed property that First Tennessee Bank owns, like banks, not foreclosed houses or anything like that. That led me to apply for a job with CB Richard Ellis, who's not really well known here, but they're the biggest real estate company in the world.
Oh, wow.
Or were at that time anyway.
Yeah.
So they're big in a lot of other places, but they had one job opening out there and I didn't know it, but the client for that job was Volkswagen.
Oh, wow.
So when I applied for that job, it was actually a job managing Volkswagen's existing facilities, most of them leased, on the East Coast. So I had from New York all the way down to Miami. And of course, you know, Volkswagen didn't have any other active factories, but they had a lot of other spaces, a lot of other businesses, with the sales company side, because, you know, they've been selling Volkswagens here for a long time. So it's a job that can be done remotely. I really enjoyed it. But they had me locally housed in their temporary office space just right down the street on Chestnut Street and then Discovery Drive. Actually, I think I started in Discovery Drive before we moved to Chestnut. When I started, there were 34 people working there at Volkswagen. And Don Jackson hadn't been hired. None of the HR people had been hired. It was mostly just brand new people from Michigan, really, coming down from for purchasing.
Okay.
So I was there when they were pushing dirt around.
Very
and mud.
Early days.
Yeah. So that was a great experience, a really great experience for me. And I worked at Volkswagen. I eventually got hired on straight there in the HR department because I had my degree in organizational management by that time from Bryan College. It took me 8 years to graduate college.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I was working the whole time, you know?
My wife is finishing up a ChatSave program.
Fantastic. It seems a little bit more meaningful when you're an adult and you really just have to grind at it for years.
She gets frustrated with other, you know, 19-year-olds that she's in the program with. She's a mom with two kids and, you know, a lot of other responsibilities, and she can make it happen. So
yeah, I applaud her and everybody else who does that. I've done it. It's hard, but it's worth it. So I went and I worked in HR in the general services department. I had a great boss, great coworkers. It was a really interesting time because they were building everything. So the department I was in was responsible with the uniform program. So the team wear, picking out all of those things, then, a lot of money, a lot of contracting. I didn't have any direct reports. What we were doing in our department instead was hiring whole contract teams. So one of the biggest ones was the food service provider, the restaurants. We built three restaurants on
site.
Inside the factory. Yeah. So I was over there with my hard hat on, you know, trying to figure out where we were going to have all the drains, and picking out furniture and talking about menus and healthy options and, you know, how much we could charge the employees, all of those things. It was really a great experience, but it gave me a lot of budget responsibility. And also with my facilities management experience, I'm also very aware of the lifetime of the improvements that we make to our facilities. So when I hear things like, you know, we have $250 million plus in deferred maintenance, you can't...
With the school system.
Yeah, in the school system, you cannot... not replace a roof forever. Eventually you're going to have to. And you know, when you're in facilities management, you have a plan for this. Right. You know, the lifetime of an air unit, you know, when carpet needs to be replaced years ahead of time, you need a plan, to work on that little by little. So you don't get caught in a situation like this. So one of the things I really want to bring to the county commission is, not just saying yes or no to budgeting, but show your long-term plan. And I know the school board is working on that. They've got a three-year plan out right now that I saw that was really great. But we need that for all aspects. You know, when we're handling the purse of the taxpayer and we're asking them for more money, as we did in August of last year, we need to be able to show that we have a plan for spending that money. Sometimes I feel like in Hamilton County, we wait till something's on fire, raise the taxes, build a few things, and keep going. So I think when I talk to people, speaking of talking to people in Hickson, and I mentioned the fact that I really think we need long-term planning and incremental changes, because there's no way we can fix all these problems in 1 year. People are so happy about that and receptive to that. Our average citizen has to plan for their own retirement and their own, how they're going to pay for their kids' college. We need to be thinking how we're going to pay for all this growth that's coming in. And it's not acceptable to look at the budget with tunnel vision year by year for our taxpayers. I think we really need to put a little more work into looking at the long-term plan for this county, because we're growing, so many great things are happening. But I think some of our elected officials are falling behind.
Well, okay, as we kind of come to the end of this, is there anything else that you want the residents and the constituents of District 3 to know about you?
Yes, I would. I would like to, if I could have a personal conversation with every voter in Hickson, I think I could really get a lot of people to vote for me. I think a lot of the voters and I have the same values. If you are a parent with children and you're terrified that you have to send your children to a school that you don't feel is safe, and you're worried that our officials aren't taking it seriously enough, then you should vote for me, because I feel that way too. if you have had a business in Hickson for 10, 20, 30 years, and you've been paying those taxes year after year, and you feel like the county is ignoring you and your voice isn't being heard as a small local business, hey, I've been there. I opened a small business. I ran a business on Cherokee Boulevard for 2 years. And I know how much taxes people pay here locally. And a lot of the focus gets, a lot of the momentum is focused on sexy startups downtown. And we have a range of businesses out in Hamilton County that don't get any special treatment. And so if you're frustrated with that, vote for me, whether you're Republican or Democrat. I feel you. I've been there. If you're worried about the growth in our county, that you feel like as a citizen in a subdivision, you're not having your voice heard about whether a Walmart's going to be built down the street from you, and you want better access to your county commissioner for those decisions, elect me, because I care about that too.
Well, I got two fun questions I want to end with. Number one, you know, when it comes to District 3, you know, I'm not a constituent of District 3. So, you know, I'd love to hear from you. What's the one thing you're most proud of when it comes to the people, the culture, the community of District 3?
Well, all over the South, people are friendly. So we have to say that that holds true in Hickson, too. I'm really proud of the natural beauty of our area. I love going to Greenway and the parks that we have out there. I also love our local library. The Northgate Library does a fabulous job. I go there with my son twice a week. There's so many programs there that are of great benefit to our local community. I also love the fact, I'm a huge local business fan, so I love the fact that I can support and eat at and shop at all the local businesses out here in Hickson. I love the fact that it's affordable, that, you know, a lot of young families can find a house that works for them in this community. I love the fact that in order to get downtown, I can drive down Highway 27, which is the most beautiful road in the area. And that it's convenient. I can buy everything I need to out there, and yet I don't have the traffic of being downtown or over there in East Hamilton County. We've got the lake. We have so much out there in the area. And of course, you know, the people are wonderful. I can certainly say that.
Yeah. Well, and as somebody, you know, I don't have too many people on the podcast who have spent so much time in Japan. And so I'd be remiss to let you go without asking you, if I were to go out in Hamilton County and get Japanese food, where
oh, there's
I
no
go?
Doubt. You don't have to travel far. You go straight down to Coolidge Park and eat at Sushinabe.
Sushinabe, all right.
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan. Let's see. What should you get there? I think they have a spicy ramen, a miso ramen that's fantastic. I eat their miso soup all day long. I also like their curry. I had curry all the time as a kid out there in Japan, and it's a really dark, rich curry. It's not the same thing as Indian curry at all, and I would really recommend that, and make sure you say hello to Nabe while you're there.
Well, that sounds great. Roosevelt, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much to Roosevelt Gorman for stopping in and sitting down for this interview. And we are so happy to be able to share these interviews with all of you. Now today, the day we released this interview, we also released the interview with her opponent, Greg Martin. And so you can listen to that today as well. Now I do want to take a moment to remind all of you that our local elections are coming up on August 2nd. It is not in November when we have our state and national elections. So early voting will begin in July, and then the big voting day, the big day, is going to be August 2nd. And now in the show notes to this episode, you'll find links to the Hamilton County election website, a link to a map of Hamilton County Commission districts, as well as links to the candidates who are being interviewed. So thank you all so much for taking the time to listen to this interview to become more informed about the people seeking to represent you right here in Hamilton County. And throughout the summer, we're going to keep bringing you interviews with people running for county mayor, county commission, and Hamilton County School Board. So have a great day. We hope to have you back here next time.